At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
So much for joining us for your ROH post show, where I will not at all be distracted by the ongoings of the ALDS, where the Yankees were winning last I checked. But we've got some ROH to talk about tonight. SB3 and I in agreement that I think this was a much stronger episode than the past couple weeks of what we've been getting. Hopefully a symptom of them finding their rhythm post the Texas tapings back into live shows. But we have so much to talk about in general. If there's anything that you would like to discuss, please send in a super chat. It helps us out. Please leave a thumbs up on this video as well. It helps people find us in the algorithm for sure. Tonight, you will have Cresta and Joel on the back end of this for your TNA post show as they work toward Bound for Glory. So stay tuned for that. But we will also remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, where not only is there contract news breaking all the time, not only is there so much happening, not only is there information about the beef between Chris Jericho and MVP getting squashed after MVP knocked him out on his own boat, which is the funniest shit I've ever heard.
Lovely. I think you did you mute yourself? Yep, I think you did. There you go.
I did mute myself. I think I screamed so loud into my own mic. It was like, calm down, Kate. Relax.
It was Chris Jericho working from his learning tree lair.
He was like, under the tree. That's what he said. But in addition to all of that on FightfulSelect.com, in addition to Alex Pawlowski and I doing paywalled PLE and pay-per-view post shows, we also have the Fightful Select Discord, where Sean was testing the waters and just said Penelope in the chat the other day. It was the return of Penelope Ford, which is excellent news. This roster, these injuries getting cleared up is nice, both on the men's and the women's side. Switchblade coming back, reports of Cole coming back imminently, Yuka Sakazaki coming back, Penelope here. So full steam ahead for the AEW picture, but we're talking some ROH tonight. I'm joined, as always, by the wonderful SP3, who is with us in the house. What's going on?
I am doing well. I was much more positive about this show for like two major reasons. Is it's a madman, you know? I got to see Gabe Kidd on
Ring of Honor. I love that guy so much.
The breakout star of New Japan Pro Wrestling for 2024. I'm putting in my ballot, my vote early for the Fightful Awards. He's one of the breakout stars of the year and one of my favorites in New Japan Pro Wrestling. One of the most authentic and believable talkers in the game, especially on the New Japan side. And seeing him on Ring of Honor was excellent. And then also got to see one of my favorite Ring of Honor matches of all time. I said it on Twitter, I'll say it here. The match that made me go to my first ever independent show, ROH Final Battle, is I got the DVD for Glory by Honor 2006 with Kenta versus Bryan Danielson. And I just had a big smile on my face the whole time rewatching that. I was watching it like it was live. It was in the moment. I was living vicariously through those people in the Hammerstein.
Definitely better placement as far as where this sat on this episode. I thought that was a better call to stick those at the end. We're going to get into all of this and more. I see the numbers going up, and we appreciate that as you're tuning in, but a lot more to talk about with this episode. My only things were kind of overall, especially, and there's very little control that they had over this, like Anthony Henry unfortunately hurt, so yeah. The Gabe Kidd shot, awesome. The match, really good, but unfortunately on the ROH side of things, Anthony Henry no longer cleared. This guy's been healthy his entire career and just had a really rough 2024, so yeah. Our healing thoughts and our empathy goes out to him, because that is rough physically and mentally, emotionally, after he worked to come back. Obviously, it's going to affect things with beef moving forward, which I'm sure is a huge issue for SP3. And the only other part of this was we did get our champion back around, which was really nice. But unfortunately, like, you know, when he has a match set up for WrestleDream, we kind of know what this looks like already, right? Like, this is kind of something that's so obvious. But I can't have my cake and eat it too, right? Like, I've been wanting my champions back around. They are back around on the program. Just feels kind of like the result's inevitable when he has a match for a pay-per-view this weekend against Chris Jericho. What were your thoughts on all this?
I really enjoyed this show outside of the, you know, those two major reasons, like I said, why I enjoyed this show more. I felt like there was some story building going on yes. this episode. So that made it a lot better. You know, a person that we basically talk about every week, why haven't they followed up on things with like Shane Taylor, finally getting some type of story. And it involves another people that you every week say, what are we even doing with these guys in the infantry? And the fact that they combine those two stories together, I'm going to hold out. Maybe it's false hope. False optimism that they can follow up on this, because there was a certain part of the show where I was just like, what happened to the Iron Savages versus Outrunners feud? They just dropped that completely, like, down there. Iron Savages over here with Dark Order. Okay, let's see where this go. And any show that starts off with a emergency mem meeting and it's event planning by Lexi Nair, I think it's a good show. It's going to be a good show overall.
I agree with you on that. So let's talk about our emergency mem meeting that we got kicking off the show. SB3, I recently discovered something about myself, and it's that I hate the word vignette. I have to say it, because that's what these are in wrestling. But the word vignette is nonsense. And we're gonna talk about this episode, but let me tell you why the word vignette is nonsense. How do you look at that? It's kind of like the word colonel. How would I look at that? I don't care if it's French, I know that. How would I look at the word vignette? Is it pronounced vignette? Knock it off. Ridiculous. But we do have a vignette here. I realized this Monday and I've been on a tirade ever since, but we have Lexi Nair and Athena chained together to protect each other from Abaddon, which is so great. And then after Billie Starks leaves, because she's over this, Lady Frost comes into the picture to confront Athena, and she says that she was scared, but that leads Athena to accidentally challenging Lady Frost for next week. And Ian Riccaboni reveals that match was made official. So some good stuff. I like that while we have things going on with Abaddon, we're also weaving in more challengers because Athena, because it feels like this title reign kind of stalled. Like, we see the long-term picture going on with Billie Starks. We see the feud building with Abaddon. But, like, none of them were fully taking shapes. They're just, like, these little snippets that we get every week. So to have another challenger rise up for it to be someone like Lady Frost, I think, is a really good thing. How did you feel about how we kicked off the show tonight?
Yeah, I thought this was a fun way to kick off the show. Athena is so, so good at just playing any type of role she's played as a ROH Women's World Champion, whether it be the confident, cocky champion, whether it be kind of underestimating her opponent, or whether it be being scared of her opponent. I think that she has played all these roles very well. The only problem I have with Athena, and I usually don't have any problems with Athena, but why do you want Ja Rule for your celebration party? I'm sorry. As a New Yorker, as a kid that grew up and was a teen in the 2000s, we all chose 50 Cent. We all chose 50 over Ja Rule. So if you ask for 50 Cent at your celebration, that's one thing. But asking for Ja Rule, you know, you got Lexi, you know, trying to talk to Ja Rule's people. Ja Rule don't got no people. Irv Gotti done left him a long time ago. Ashanti don't even hang out with the dude. Like, what are we talking about? Come on, Athena. You're better than that. You're better than that, our fallen goddess. But outside of that, I like Billie playing her role. Lexi Nair is just so funny in this role. Just her just doing all that was great. I like Lady Frost getting involved in this as well. So, and I absolutely adored Athena calling Abaddon a bandit. I popped so much, and we had time to watch. I had time to watch that segment again, and she said abandoned. I nearly lost it. I had to go to the bathroom and compose myself because I laughed so much.
Especially because what she's doing is abandoning Billy Starks. It's a slip of the tongue, okay? She's foreshadowing for us all, but. I agree. These segments are a fun way to kick off the show, and it's a fun way for us to kick off our show, just like it is when you guys are chatting us. Lord Kev sending a chat. We thank you so much, Lord Kev. Lord Kev is always so supportive of us. He's always showing love and tweeting out links about our broadcast that we have here at Fightful. He's supported our community so much. We appreciate him, as has Just Ricardo saying, True Heel Bangs. I like that.
That's our tag team name.
We do. We finally have a tag team name. Love you guys. I'll see myself out. Thank you so much, Ricardo. I mean, Norm is saying, hello, SP3sis. I don't know if I get that one. Do I get that one? And Minion690069, I got that one. Let's crank. Ring of Dark Elevation actually had champions on it, though no ground was proven. We saw beef existing. We sure did. We sure did.
Beef.
We love our beef. I am a little worried about what is to come for him with Anthony Henry being out, because that's his cousin. I don't know if you knew that, SP3, but that is his cousin.
Did you hear the fans chanting, he's his cousin?
So good. So good. Thank you guys for the chats up front. We really appreciate it. Yes. On all shows, especially this one. You guys keep us going, but man, oh man, was I excited when I saw that this got set up. Gabe Kidd versus Anthony Henry with beef, of course. I was like, this is the S that I like. This is 4K. This is, if it's not techerness, it's this kind of stuff. Hard hitting, great stuff. Gabe Kidd, you said it, breakout star of 2024 for New Japan. Arguably one of the biggest breakout stars across all of wrestling. Not to plug my own stuff, but I did a media breakdown of him because he was in an interview, and I don't even think he realizes how good he is at this kind of stuff, but he was so unbelievable in promoting the event that they had coming up that yeah. I was blown away that my publicist brain was just going off and off and off about, like, this guy should be the poster child for your company. SP3 letting me know that I'm having audio issues that I didn't know about. So let's see what we can get on. Better, maybe? Better here?
Yes.
Better much here? Better. Okay, I was like,
I don't want to say it. Let me just type it.
I appreciate like that. I just have no chill. So what you see is what you get. But what we saw
Jericho,
in this match,
Jericho is cracking into the Fightful database.
Hacking, he's hacking my internet. He's like, I hear what you're saying about me, lady. Heard
save
you.
Save us, Y2J. Save us.
He's like, I heard all the S you talked on the Tuesday show. I heard it. I buried the learning tree on Tuesday. I was so over it. My God. But I loved what we got out of this match as well. Anthony Henry's so good. I'm so heartbroken for him, first and foremost, about his injury. But I'm bummed for me as a fan too, because I just love watching this guy work. He's so good. But you have Gabe Kidd retaining here with that snap pile driver. He's just a hard hitting SOB, man. I absolutely adore watching Gabe Kidd work. Going up against someone like Anthony Henry too. SP3, we watch a lot of New Japan. I feel like Anthony Henry was a very different type of challenge.
Yeah, it was different from all his previous, matches that he's had for the NJPW Strong Openweight Championship. His last title defense, you were there live for him and Lio Rush, which I thought was a great matchup that not a lot of people were talking about.
Unbelievable.
Should have been talking about that matchup.
Could have been your match of the night, and I wouldn't have argued. And that was include Momo versus
Mercedes,
Zach versus Teton. Like, there, me, the Zack Sabre Jr. Tekker Sicko was still like, nah, Gabe Kidd and Lio Rush was it, though. That match was unreal.
I loved it, but I like think Anthony Henry was a different type of guy who is kind of the smaller build, like Lio Rush, but can have more of that physical, hard-hitting matchup that Gabe Kidd absolutely loves. He thrives in it. Gabe Kidd is like Tomohiro Ishii with a bad attitude, and he's from England. Like, he just loves to get hit hard. He loves to hit hard back, and he loves to trash talk all day long. And him getting on the mic and talking crap about the fans and talking crap about everybody in the back, that's the Gabe Kidd that I absolutely adore. This guy is just made to be a top star in whatever company he's in. And whenever he comes around, he just has that star aura to him. And the finisher, he calls it the drill a hole power driver, the leg trap power driver. And I love the fact that he went to that because he has two really, really good finishers, because he tried for the Madman Bomb, the gut wrench power bomb that he started doing in the G1, but Anthony Henry was able to reverse. And it wasn't even like there was like a little reversal or anything. He was just like, all right, you won't let me do that? Let me do my other one. Boom. Right on the head.
I loved that that wasn't like a sequence. It was just like, that didn't work. Let me try this other thing. That was actually a very fun match ending. Really, really liked what we got here. Love Gabe Kidd. I know Sean said that he's just one of his favorite interviews too. Like, just, he really is a top star wherever he goes. I love how much crap he talks about WWE and AEW. It's just fun. But I also have kind of been rooting for this for a while. I don't know if I talk about it on here as much, but I probably should. I would love to see some sort of formalized partnership between New Japan Strong and ROH, because I think they could both really benefit from it. I really, really do. I think both talent pools crossing paths could be really, really fresh. If you're not going to have ROH champions around, if you have a partnership, you have all those strong titles that, quite frankly, New Japan Strong needs challengers for. They're not a weekly show anymore, right? So I really think there's some very healthy things that could come together from a partnership. I understand that AEW has a ton of moving pieces right now, but it's something that I would really like to see, even just from the talent mix-up perspective. Like, those strong shows are incredible. And if they had somewhere to go kind of on those in-between beats, I feel like them and ROH crossing paths would be so much fun. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I would really enjoy that, especially because considering who are the, you know, strong champions, outside of Mercedes, we've pretty much seen them already coming over to Ring of Honor. We've seen TMDK over here in Ring of Honor in the past. We've seen now Gabe Kidd coming over. And Gabe Kidd, like I said, he just has that star aura. So he brings you another star over to Ring of Honor that, you know, we want to get eyes on Ring of Honor. So having like the NJP, AEW Strong. I see in the chat someone mentioning Rev Pro is another company that AEW has like this loose relationship with. You want to bolster up Ring of Honor in a good way, and I think that adding those type of stars, another thing that might go a long way was the question that that Tony Khan was asked during the AEW Wrestle Dream media call about splitting the roster. And I think that I don't even want them to split the roster between Dynamite and Collision. Split the roster between, if you're going to have a Shockwave show, have a certain amount of talent for that, and then the supplemental, put some draft picks on Ring of Honor. You've been asking for it for months, for a year now. Okay, like, we need some dedicated people here in Ring of Honor, and there are people on the roster that you're not going to use on your Dynamite, your Collision, and potentially Shockwave that can become stars here on Ring of Honor if they just are, you know, here to stay, and not somebody that you just do like one or two matches with and then you decide, oh no, I want to put them on AEW. Let's have some dedicated people here to build the brand and make people want to watch Ring of Honor for those stars.
Yeah, and it was also revealed on that media call, I'm so glad that you brought it up, that ROH was not included in the rights deal. It does seem like, not to forecast anything, but like, if they're trying to go back to the Jericho playbook, which didn't work the first time around, but if they are going to do a New Wave run, like, that tells me maybe they are trying to shop this around a little bit. Or, you know, I don't know how that looks, because you have to have a proof of concept, and the concept has to be good. But they don't seem to want to put a full creative effort behind things until maybe they have a TV deal. So it's a bit of a chicken egg with that regard. And I do think a partnership or tapping into those looser relationships, like you said, with RevPro and things like that, are something that could be good. And New Japan in particular, they're not weekly episodic, right? So like, yeah, give those guys somewhere to keep fresh, keep on people's minds, be a marketing tool in America, because Lord knows that New Japan needs that right now. Like, I feel like their Western presence is very quiet at the moment. So I think that could be really, really fun. Part of it's selfish because I love TMDK. I don't want to see him everywhere. And I love Gabe Kidd and I want to see him everywhere. So to your point, same thing, but like we got something today, but we talk week over week how it feels like the infantry has nowhere to go. Challenging TMDK for the strong titles is somewhere to go. Like, you can create more avenues for people that way. But guys, thank you so much for the support. I'm seeing the numbers climb, and we really appreciate that you guys tune in. I know not all of you watch ROH or TNA, and that you're here to talk with me in SP3, get caught up on stuff. So we appreciate that so much. We appreciate the support. So please leave a thumbs up on this video. Feel free to send it a super chat if there's anything you want to talk about ROH related. This was great. Gabe's Kentucky accent was killing me. From a product perspective or AEW, like, those relationships are good to know. But
I want to get this out the way because we might forget to talk about it when we get to the main event. Are we both under the belief that we're getting the Nueve? Because I am. I've just accepted that they're going to redo the Claudio Castagnoli feud from 2022, and Jericho's going to win on Saturday, only to lose it at Final Battle to Mark right back, probably.
Once I saw that was not on the Zero Hour and was on the main card, I was like, yeah, I think that's what's happening. Especially, like, I had been thinking that all along, and then when I saw that, I was like, yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. I also think it actually makes a world of sense if you are going to have it be a short title reign and the learning tree splits up and you have Brian Keith or Big Bill become an ROH champion. Like, if the forest through the learning trees, as it were, is that Brian Keith or Big Bill becomes your champion, I have way less of a problem with it. I just don't need a Nueve extended run at frickin' all. Feeling Dreepy saying manifesting a Shibata versus Gabe Kidd title match. Holy heck.
Please, because he's been building this on his own in New Japan. Though if you saw his match with Zack Sabre Jr. In the G1, they had a whole sequence where they sat down like Shibata and started doing the slaps. So Gabe has been building his Shibata because Shibata was his trainer in the dojo, in the LA dojo. So he wants the Shibata match probably more than any match with anybody on the AEW roster. Let's do it at Final Battle. Just get it out there. I mean, we're going to put it out in the universe. We got to manifest it. We got to give it a spot to happen. Final Battle. Gabe Kidd, Shibata, and JPW Strong Openweight Championship.
I almost feel like Gabe Kidd just decided that's what he wants, so he just started building that, whether that match was going to get set or not. Like, that's how real that guy feels to me, is like, it feels like they don't have, I don't have a plan for it, but I'm just gonna bully them into giving me it, which, honestly, at this point, he deserves. We got a nice cheer bits coming in from Cyclops. Thank you so much. Saying you'd have to pay me to watch ROH. I'm just here for the vibes. Thank you so much. We'll take the vibes. This is a much better episode. I think the inconsistency is probably the most frustrating part. SP3 in general is like, we'll have 2 weeks that make absolutely no sense. And then we have something like this week, which was a really solid television show.
Yeah, that's the issue, is that I don't want to get my hopes up sometimes. Like, I've been burned.
No, we're such scorned lovers over here. It's so brutal.
I've been burned too many times.
I know. I can't keep going back.
But I do want to live in the moment, and I do want to be happy when the show is good.
It's true. It's true, because, like, that's the other thing. There are definitely podcasts out there that are out to complain. But we just want what's best for the talent in the promotion. Like, I would not have a co-host on here that didn't feel that way. We both love the Ring of Honor brand. We both see the potential and the talent that is being wasted week over week, and that's what's so frustrating. Like, we know what they're capable of because we've gotten to see flashes of it on ROH, which is maddening when they don't follow through with it. So we're not here to be cranky, but sometimes they make us that way. Me Norma saying it's spooky season and Athena is feuding with Abaddon, or Abandon, Abaddon, Ava. Any chance that feud makes it to AEW TV? Kate, do you get notes from the meetings? So I actually have a bad habit of just not doing those media calls. And it's not because I don't get credentialed for them. Usually somebody at Fightful is on those. Oftentimes Sean just makes those calls. Sometimes Jeremy Lambert does because he's covering them anyway. I just always forget. Like, I always think of, like, the media scrums after, and then I always forget. And it's also in the middle of an afternoon, which is not always the easiest time to jump on them. So I'm just a silly goose and forget. So I don't get notes for those meetings. They are on Fightful YouTube. The audio is available. And Sean's Twitter thread usually has, like, this person asked this question, this was Tony Khan's response. So you can go check those out as well. But let's keep moving along this episode of Ring of Honor. Thank you guys so much for the chats tonight. We really do appreciate it. Brandon Cutler coming out to the ring to cut a promo bragging on behalf of the Elite and then issuing an open challenge. A death wish as your New Japan Never Open Weight Champion and your New Japan Cup winner, Katsuyori Shibata, is here for that. And also your former ROH Pure Champion as well, of course. So this goes the way you think it would. Katsuyori Shibata beats Brandon Cutler with the PK. I'm so glad that AEW picked up Shibata and is giving him room to safely spread his wings in this stage of his career. It's really, really, really cool just to get to see him wrestle. But this was when my wheel started to turn about Gabe Kidd, for sure. Was like this part right here. I was like, oh, those two are both on the same program and not in the same picture. Make it happen. Make it happen for me, but make it happen for Gabe, because it feels like he wants that. But Brandon Cutler just seems to be floating around in his own Brandon Cutler world. God bless him for this. What did you think of this part of the show?
I literally, at this point in the show, I looked up. I was like, I feel like I've seen this before. I feel like I've seen Brandon Cutler come out on a Ring of Honor show, talk about his EVPs, make an open challenge, and he proceeds to be squashed by somebody. Yeah. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh yeah, the last time I saw him was against Preston Vance, where he did the same thing. So at least this time he issued a challenge to a former champion. And I instantly, when he made the challenge to a former champion, without even reading spoilers, I was like, Shibata maybe? And then yeah. Shibata came out, I was like, oh, I'm good. So Shibata getting the win before he challenges for Jack Perry. And I 100% agree with you. Like, Shibata versus Jack Perry at WrestleDream is not high on my list of matches I'm looking forward to. I'm actually not really looking forward to it because of how it just felt like haphazardly put together. But I also am of the thinking of, like, we weren't supposed to get any of this from Shibata. Shibata's right. career was supposed to be over 7 years ago, and the fact that we're able to see him wrestle, it's a gift. And if it leads to, you know, Shibata maybe losing and setting up, Daniel Garcia as the next challenger for the TNT Championship, I think after Tuesday's show, that's kind of who everybody is seeing. That's kind of the direction that they're going, that Daniel Garcia is probably going to be the next up for the TNT Championship. If it leads to that, I'm fine with that. But now the Super Chat donation about manifesting for Phil and Droopy, I'm on the Shibata Gabe Kidd hype train. That's final battle. Final battle 2024, please.
I am as well. You know, I was actually talking to a friend of mine earlier today. We were talking about the WrestleDream card and how we want thinner cards for something like this. Like you said, a lot of this card was created haphazard. But I think most people have an overarching complaint that we're seeing too many champions challenge other champions. And so it's good to build up this mid-card. Like, it is good to have matches like Darby Allin beating Brody King, I'm assuming, because of things like that. Like, you want people to stay fresh, you want people getting wins, But I think you're right. Part of what zapped my excitement for this is, one, how haphazardly it was thrown together, and two, it became very clear that Daniel Garcia, like, they're thinking past WrestleDream with this, right? They're thinking Daniel Garcia is getting set up, which I don't necessarily hate, and I think it's going to be a really fun challenge for Jack Perry, too. It's a different wrestler than he's ever faced before, so I think that's going to be very fun. But, yeah, I think... I think the use of Shibata has been mostly pretty good, and this was fine. This was silly. This was what it was. But
this is exactly, if I told you Brandon Cutler versus Shibata, is exactly how you would think a Brandon Cutler versus Shibata matchup would have went. And I'll say it here. I've said this a couple of times now, and I'll say it here. WrestleDream was like, you're a high school kid, and it's finals week. You got a final in history. You got a final in math. You got a final in English, and then all of a sudden, it's a Thursday afternoon, and you're like, oh, damn, I got a science final on Friday. That's WrestleDream for Tony Khan. He said, I got Grand Slam over here. I got the five-year anniversary over here. Damn, we're going head-to-head with NXT Title Tuesday. I don't really care about that. You could tell by the show. I don't really care about that. But damn, we got a pay-per-view on Saturday, too. Oh, my God. Oh,
and let me put just this for fun, all together. We're going to throw a freaking hurricane into this, too.
Like, let's throw a hurricane. Let's do our TV rights deal that we've been building to for a whole year. Damn. Okay, let me... Okay. Oh, all right. And then or you've like wrapped gifts for all your loved ones. See, me being a father, you're wrapping gifts for your daughter. You're wrapping gifts for your son, and you're like, oh damn, I forgot to get the wife one. And then you run. That's WrestleDream. WrestleDream is the wife.
Trying to find something at like a Walgreens, a candle or something. Yeah, you gotta get it together. But that's a really good point, and something I've been saying too. Of like, All In was in August. And we've had All In, All Out, Grand Slam, the five-year anniversary show, this. They're probably planning for the Continental Classic. They're probably figuring out how they're going to shift into whatever the new programming slate is going to look like. So it's been a lot. One thing that I noticed, for this rushed build kind of broke my heart, just because this last year was the most important match to me that I've ever witnessed live in Zack Sabre Jr. versus Danielson.
Yes.
And it was an Inoki tribute show, right? Like, this does not feel like an Inoki tribute show.
It really feels like they should have just done that last year and not done it this year.
Yeah, and now that they've got these international shows a little bit more under control, I'm intrigued to see what the cadence looks like. But I will say, Wrestle Dynasty had a rushed build, and the work rate was so insane it blew everyone away, so nobody cared. I'm wondering if we're going to get something similar here, because you look at that triple threat. Right, like Takeshita Osprey Ricochet is going to be insane. You look at the main event, like there are things that are just going to show out from the wrestling perspective that I wonder if that's kind of where their heads are at, of like, yeah, the build isn't great, but the wrestling is something that people are not going to be complaining about. Like, everyone's going to be talking positively about this pay-per-view because they're going to be talking about how ridiculous these matches are. So
And AEW, the one part of their business that hasn't gone down in 2024 is their pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much every pay-per-view, except for, like, All Out, because that number hasn't been confirmed yet. But I did the research. Every pay-per-view this year has done over 100,000 buys. That's why before the TV deal was done, I was like, for all the y'all people that are hoping they put pay-per-views on Max for free, that would be the dumbest business decision of all time. Because they're making more money than ever on pay-per-views in 2024. That would be a misjudged move. That is something that a 50-year company was able to do. It's not something that a 5-year company should do. So I'm glad they did it the way they have, with the discounted rate on Max. That's the smart way to go about it, the UFC model, because their pay-per-views is the only part of their business that is on the up this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're now getting this huge infusion on the back end, too. But, like, they were bleeding money for the first 5 years. So let's not forget that, too. This isn't like everybody's all of a sudden rolling in it. Like, this is just to get them profitable. So to your point, I think that is a better call. And I think the fight pass model is a good thing. And I remember Sean saying this on a couple of his shows. Like, the other thing is you can't give that away and then take it back. Once you cross that threshold, you've crossed that threshold. There's no, we did it and oopsie, it didn't work out. Now we're going to start charging you. Like, that's not how that works. So you better be damn sure when you are ready there. But thank you for having more cheers in here, Cyclops, saying, back when men were men, Tony actually used to try to compete against NXT.
I was like Tuesday, I was like, Tony, put your hands up. What are we doing? Don't just let them hit you in the face. They putting all their main roster talent on this show, and you spent 20 minutes without the wrestling? That's the part you're good at.
Yeah, there's going to be more on Fightful Select about this, but there's so much talent that's in the Florida area, and so many that are, like, the FTR, for example, is in the North Carolina area that's still affected, plus Britt Baker being sick. Like, there was a lot of that episode that also got tossed around a lot. I actually thought it was an all right episode considering the circumstances, but yeah, it is. They're also going up against a different NXT, right? Like, this is not Vince McMahon era crap that is tucked away anywhere. This is like an upswing time for NXT as well, where they're on a new network. They've got new champions. Like, they're working through some stuff there too. So,
yeah.
So it was a weird one on Tuesday. But the other thing that's so funny is when people look at ratings, I'm like, I bet a bunch of people watched NXT and DVR'd AEW, and then we'll go back and watch that. Like, this is not the Monday Night Wars, man. Like, it just, people want it to be that so bad, and it's just not. But guys, keep that support coming. We appreciate it. Over 2,000 of you tuned in right now across platforms. We appreciate it so much. So continue to send in those chats. Continue to leave a thumbs up on this video. You will have Joel and Cresta talking about the build to Bound for Glory tonight. I know that Nick Nemeth is talking on the show. He's got his big world champion appearance. He's got the Hardys in action as well. So lots to talk about in TNA world, but here in ROH.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Brian Cage cuts a promo backstage bragging about being the machine in every aspect and that he was programmed to be the best professional wrestler, starting by beating Atlantis Jr. for that TV title on the 0 Hour of WrestleDream. I am so sick of wrestlers saying that they're the best.
I just want a soul for a soul. You know, we got to sacrifice a Chris Jericho 2 month run before Final Battle. Can we at least get Brian Cage to win the Ring of Honor TV title on Saturday? Bring that title back to the company, please?
That would be neat. I would love that. Yeah. I would appreciate a build that made sense. Like, I mean, remember when they were doing the survival matches? They just stopped doing those. Like, just try a little bit. But Shame Monster with the chat. TMD Kate, SB303. What a throwback. I love that. Big Bill as ROH champ would be great with how that first appearance in 2019 at MSG went.
Great callback.
Redemption from an embarrassing moment. I was there. I was at that.
I was event. There too. I was there. Supercard of Honor. I mean, what was it?
Climax.
Supercard.
Right?
It was G1 Supercard.
G1 Supercard, yeah.
I was like trying to figure out. I was like, something Supercard. G1 Supercard. I was there in Madison Square Garden. Yes, that moment had us all baffled. All of us were baffled. Oh. Like, why is Enzo and Big Cass here?
It was, I've never heard just apathy. Like, I've never heard, an arena of people collectively go, like, but man, yeah, that was something to experience live for sure.
It led to a great Tama Tonga promo. At least it was that.
You know what? I remember Sean saying, he was like, you know, in retrospect with that championship match, it was good Matt Taven won. Because the other people that were in it.
Yes! Because in retrospect, that was the best route. I was one of the only people cheering because I'm big, you know, true heel me. I was big into Matt Taven. Matt Taven's my boy. Matt Taven told me one time at a Ring of Honor show in early 2019, he said if I bought his shirt, I would find love. And I did. I found my wife just a few months later. And I told Matt Taven that story after he became Ring of Honor world champion. I was like, your shirt brought me love in my life. Now I have a kid.
There you go. My goodness. Be enormous with the chat saying, when I was 8, the Ultimate Warrior was my favorite wrestler, and Wolverine is still my favorite superhero. Brian Cage should be a champion somewhere. Here's the thing. Brian Cage is not the most for me, but I was talking with Kylie from Fightful Overbooked, and I was like, I think Brian Cage is just for the boys, and I'm okay with that. Because there's nothing I look at him wrestling-wise, and I'm like, he's bad at it. Like, I'm just not that connected to him. And I was like, I think he's just for the dudes. He's got the dude look. He's got a dude promo. Like, I was like, I think he's for the boys, and that's fine. Like, that's important to have in wrestling, as a wrestler that's for the boys. That's the majority of the demographic. I do, I am impressed by the fusion of his size and athleticism every time he's in the ring. Like, some of the stuff that he can do off the ropes, he should not be able to do for a guy of his size. The strength is always impressive. He does look like a million bucks. Like, on paper, I completely get it with this guy, and I understand why people like him in the ring, too. Just not the most for-me guy in the world, and that's okay, but objective wrestling opinion, like, of course strap up this guy. You know what I mean?
I agree. I 100% agree with you there. Brian Cage, I think I've always kind of liked him because he is a lot more, like you said, athletic than he should be with the whole look that he has and this physique is amazing. He seems more of a guy that probably would have been like a number one draft pick for WWE back in like the 2010s. Yes. But like,
that's probably why I'm grossed out by it. I'm like, oh, don't take me back to that.
But he works in AEW and ROH, and he's here, so that's my number one reason of why I want him to be the TV champion, because Atlantis Jr. is not here. Brian Cage is here. Let's put the title on him.
That is where the bar is at. But hey, you know what? Not only can you talk about these title matches that are going to be on WrestleDream with us right here on ROH, but you can bet on wrestling. You can bet on wrestling online. You can bet online, AG.
By now, you guys know how much I love Bet Online. Every betting odds that we have ever had on Fightful, whether it be MMA, boxing, pro wrestling, come from Bet Online, AG. We've given you guys a ton of great underdog picks, but you know what? They got so much more to offer at Bet Online, AG. The earliest lines, the fastest payouts, the industry's best bonuses at BetOnline AG. They've been trusted for over 25 years by millions of people because of their safe and secure environment, their high credit card acceptance, and their payouts in minutes. But it doesn't end there. baseball, basketball, fighting, soccer, or football, whatever you want to call it, BetOnline has you covered. Not just that, incredible games, blackjack, roulette, Golden Dragon Inferno. BetOnline has it all for you. Your one-stop shop, and this is not a fly-by-night operation. They've been around for 25-plus years, giving you the goods. Go make yourself some money. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can.
Bet Online AG, our betting sponsor. You'll get a rundown probably of those odds on the SmackDown post show tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. But check out Bet Online. They're a great partner to us. We ask that you be a great partner to them. They have some fun prop bets going on over there too. Like, I know last weekend for WWE, they had like, will Dominic escape the cage? Like the odds that both Drew and Punk would bleed, things like that. So there's some fun prop bets to get involved in with Bet Online AG as well. But I'll tell you what was a surefire win. I would have bet my house, my dog, my family, my own well-being on Billy Starks defeating Ella Elizabeth here. With the Senton Atomico, not a ton to talk about here, but nice to see Ella Elizabeth on television. Nice to see Billy Starks in action. What did you think of this?
Find a use of Billy Stark kind of showing her apathy at this point with her situation as in MIT. And I'm glad she got the win, but yeah, I want to see some more progression in this story with Billy and Athena moving forward.
It does feel like they're just stalling for the inevitable, so we will see what happens here. But some more love from Cyclops over on our Twitch, which you can check out at Fightful Gaming, saying, I'm going to have to pay my hard-earned money just to say F Wolverine. I mean, his handle has been Cyclops is better than Wolverine on other platforms. So I got to be honest, I saw that one coming. That did not surprise me. That did not surprise me at all.
Makes sense.
We get Shane Taylor Promotions. Lee Moriarty and Shane Taylor defeating the Infantry with Trisha Dora and leading into a fantastic, fantastic promo later in the show. The O'Connor role from Lee Moriarty, doing the O'Connor role the right way, God bless him, on Carly Bravo. But later in the show, we get the Infantry backstage and saying that something was off in that match. And STP immediately interrupting to kind of talk a little bit of sense into them and said, man, we've seen you talking about how you're the best, getting all these wins. You have nothing to show for it. When are they going to stop being good soldiers? And then Shane Taylor says to Trisha Dora that he hasn't forgotten about their conversation from 2021. And honest to God, that promo with Trisha Dora from 2021 made me cry. Like, it is one of the most effective, under a minute maybe, promos that I've ever seen. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please do yourself a favor and look it up. There's a moment where Trisha Dora is in a women's tournament that was brilliantly orchestrated by Maria Kanellis. And she loses kind of later in the tournament. And she's just crying, and you just see Shane Taylor's, she's on the floor crying. You see Shane Taylor's arm just come into the shot and pick her up. And he just says, you're a queen. Head up, crown on, basically about this. And the emotion from both of them, I'm like getting teared up talking about it now. That promo made me fall so in love on another layer with Shane Taylor, and was like, it was so effective in so short of a time. And it made Trisha Dora's tournament loss feel like it mattered so much. And this wasn't long before the promotion shut down, unfortunately, before Tony Khan bought it. But like, oh my God, I get chills thinking about it. And I love that they kind of picked that up where it left off. And I love Shane Taylor kind of asking the Infantry to stand on their shit a little bit. Like, they have won a bunch of stuff. It hasn't been the titles. Where is it getting them to be good soldiers in this? Shane Taylor, such an effective promo. And I liked Carly Bravo having a serious side here too. Like, so flashy in the ring, so charismatic. They're so much fun. They can be a little silly, not in a goofy way like an MXM or the Outrunners, but like fun and engaging. And this was like, Carly Bravo was like, something was off in that match. Like, he could smell something was up. So this was aces for me. I thought the match was a lot of fun. Fun to see Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty in this together as well, SP3.
Yeah, I thought this was one of the best as far as like storyline progression on the show that we've seen in a number of weeks. I like how the match went down, where Carly Bravo kind of got, he was kind of the hothead in this situation.
Yes.
In front of Trish Adora when she was just talking to Shane Taylor on the outside, which cost him getting a hot tag from Sean Dean. And then it basically cost them in the end when they couldn't get it together on the double team move and Lee Moriarty was able to capitalize. And then the post-match with the backstage interview, Shane Taylor is the best talker in Ring of Honor. Like, I'm sick of saying he is the best talker in Ring of Honor, because every time he talks, it don't matter if they follow up on it. I remember it.
That's a really good point.
He gets my attention every single time. And I like the fact that he called out the infantry. Like, you guys have won matches. You've beaten former champions, beaten legends. But what has he got you? Just being the good soldier. And I like him bringing up his past with Trish Adora, because it was something that caught my ear when commentary brought it up on the outside, when it was like, Shane wasn't going to do anything to Trish Adora. They have history together. And I was like, oh, yeah, they did. They had the whole thing where it looked like he was going to recruit her to Shane Taylor Promotions the tail end of Ring of Honor when they were in the women's tournament. And that women's tournament, man, that was one of the best things from that final year of Ring of Honor that they did. And look at all the women that have like gone on to great success since then, like Willow Nightingale, like Roxanne.
Yep.
You got like two of the
Max was in the early rounds of that. Yeah.
You got two of the biggest stars in women's wrestling. You got women that are tearing it up on the independent scene. You got Trish Adora, who's here. And hopefully this is something that can get Trish Adora going on Ring of Honor and picking up some singles win. Like Kate always asks for every single week here. And we can get some storyline. We can get some storyline progression for the infantry. And please, just follow through. Like, this is one of those instances where I'm watching something, I'm like, this is great. But in the back of my mind, I'm also like, oh, I hope they follow up on this.
We don't want to get punished for our optimism on it. Yeah. But I will say, like, there are people in wrestling, and I think I've said it on the show before, where when I see them, I'm like, if I were a wrestling promotion, I would simply choose to make $1 million with them. For a long time, that was like Ricochet in WWE, right? Like, yeah. I'm like, I would just, instead of not doing that, I would just choose to make $1 million off of this person. And Trish Adora has always been one of those to me. Like, her and Willow, to me, are two of the most obvious magnetic. I always use this word with Willow, and Trish has it too. Like, the second they're on screen, you're like, I'm in. I'm in on whatever you're doing. There's just something about those two women. And in different ways, right? But Trish Adora, the second she just steps out behind that curtain, man, you're just like, I am immediately intrigued. And I'm not the litmus test for that. My sister's the litmus test for that. And what I mean by that is, my sister doesn't give a shit about wrestling at all. But when she's seen Willow Nightingale, and when she's seen Trish Adora, and when she's seen Aussie Open, actually, those three, she was just like, she just started watching wrestling. It was not like, oh, who's that? It was, oh, that woman. I would love it if my sister gave a shit about wrestling. She sure as hell doesn't. She hasn't the entire time I've been a fan, despite my best efforts. But those three acts, oh my God, she actively dislikes it.
I am also that same way with like my family, like my missus. We kind of, our first connection was wrestling, but she stopped watching like current wrestling mainly because I'm so into it and she doesn't want to like
that's your thing.
She's like, yeah, that's your thing now. I'm into the old school, but like someone that got her attention, like she loves the Gunther versus Dragunov series.
Oh God!
Like, yeah. she's like Gunther is someone that she is thoroughly entertained of and always feels like he's hurting people. And she rallied behind Dragunov when I showed her the empty arena match from 2020. So, you need to have people that are not into wrestling and show them a bit of wrestling. And what gets their attention shows you who is like the stars that can get casuals and people that are not really into it and can get them into professional wrestling.
She's mostly saying AEW because I don't review AEW on Fightful. So if she's bothering, I'm not reviewing a show for it. but it's also been Orange Cassidy, and she really liked MJF, who of course Sean Dean has beaten twice. So I will just forever point that
out.
Toss that one in there. Rafael Garcia asking us, not sure if you covered this because I'm just getting in. Well, thank you for joining us, Rafael.
Yes.
But would you rather the current setup now or a certain tree on ROH every week? I would rather jump off a bridge than see Chris Jericho on ROH every week.
Hey, if you meant the Redwood tree, I'm sorry. Big Bill is the most entertaining part of the whole learning tree.
Bad apple tree? I'm also in on that.
Oh, I love the Bad Apple, but I'm sorry. Big Bill is just awesome entertainment. Like him starting the segment on Dynamite, like the lesson of the day, the learning tree taught me the people that need advice are the ones that want them the least. Just his delivery is just awesome.
He's amazing. The thing is, he is amazing in anything, so put him in something that's good. To answer that question more sincerely, if having just Chris Jericho as the new wave leads to Big Bill or Brian Keith being the champion, which is kind of what I said before, but you got here late, so I'm catching you up to speed. That's where I'm good with it. Like if it's a transitional reign to make a star out of Brian Keith or Big Bill, I'm good with that. And I also like, I don't need my ROH champion on TV every week, just some of the weeks, perhaps most of the weeks. That would be neat. How do you feel about like what a potential Nueve run could look like? What are your thoughts on that?
If he can show up on this show and not on Dynamite, I mean, I'm willing to kind of acquiesce to him showing up here.
But that's also dangerous because I don't want ROH to be a dumping ground for shit that's not working on Dynamite either. You know what I mean? But I also understand what you're saying because they need a breather from Jericho on AEW. Yeah, for sure.
Yes, they need the breather and a star. He's still a star that has some name value to the point that, it's not working on AEW television, but putting it on ROH, you can honestly see what's left of the name value of Chris Jericho. Because if he gets more people to get a subscription to Ring of Honor or an Honor Club, or can potentially get them a TV deal out there, then you can be like, Tony Khan, every time we complain, he could be like, see, look what he did. Look.
Sean got asked on the Q&A show yesterday if there was data to support Jericho being on TV so much, meaning ratings data. And and Sean said, you know, I'm glad you asked that question because the data that's supporting it is that they're paying Chris Jericho a lot of money right now.
Yes,
the omission of what Sean said speaks volumes, I think.
Literally was one of the people 6 months ago. When he first started doing, like we said last week, the wink and the nod version of the learning tree, that's when he did get bumps when he was on sure. Dynamite, because I was following that. But that ended like 5 months ago. Like I said, 6 months ago when it started and he was doing the wink and the nod, he was getting a bump. And then a month later, he stopped getting that bump. And now we've been here for five more months.
I went off on Tuesday about how, one, if he's the master of reinvention, why is he creating another stable that the whole idea is everybody else is kissing my ass? And two, like, the Jericho Vortex is so real that, did I say this last week or did I say this on Tuesday, that Hook was defending the same title at All In this year that he was last year? Like, it's brutal. It's brutal. But I'll tell you what's not brutal. I like seeing the Dark Order on my screen, and they cut a promo saying it was time for them to get back in the trios division. I have been asking for division clarity for like my whole life. But they get confronted by the Iron Savages, Boulder Bronson and Jett Jameson, challenging them to a trios match, and Reynolds accepts the challenge. So I like that they're creating clarity in the divisions that I've been asking them to for a while. That also includes on Dynamite. I've been asking for that with Top Flight, right? Like, it now seems like we're getting some more information on what shows these guys compete on and when and in which divisions. Them just blatantly saying, we're going to be a trio. That's all I freaking want. That's all I've been asking for, man. It's that fundamental. So this was music to my ears, not because it was particularly overpowering story-wise, but like, I just want people's intentions to be clear before they go and compete. So this was fine by me.
Yeah, this was fine by me. My only issue is that I thought the Iron Savages was feuding with the Outrunners. All I'm asking is that, like, can we just get, like, a 15, 30-second vignette for stuff? Like, on this show, could we just not get, like, a 15-second vignette of Iron Savages, of even the Outrunners being like, hey, guys, we did great work on Ring of Honor, but we're going over to AEW now, and we're going to tear it up over there like we've been doing in Ring of Honor. So forget about all our storylines here. We're moving on. And even on AEW television, you're telling me, Even though Sean did a great report saying that the option to continue the story wasn't available was the thing he was told, you're telling me we couldn't get a 30-second vignette with Stokely saying, hey, Chris, I got you to beat Willow. Now it's time for you to move on your own. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. That would have been nice.
Kind of hinted at that on Rampage, but yeah, something with a little bit more oomph behind it would have been good. I'm in full agreement that we got to stop dropping these things out of nowhere like that. But again, like, this is the right direction. It's just a matter of, can they stay consistent on that direction? Because neither tag division in AEW or ROH and neither trios division feels strong right now. So I want all the talent to get utilized to the best of their ability. That's all I want. Great. This life. We get Diamante with a surprise win against Red Velvet via a DQ here. Diamante attacking Velvet with the title out of rage, causing the referee to call for the DQ. I actually really like this because I like that they tap in deeper to the thing that Diamante has that makes her unrepeatable about things. Like, I love that. I love when they're like, we see the secret sauce with this person, let's go deeper with it. And I feel like that's what they did with Diamante in this. Also makes her look smart in a little bit, right? Like, I kind of like that, you know, she was not going to win, so she pulled out a stop here to kind of pull things off. So I like what we actually got out of this. What did you think?
I like anything that's a semblance of a rivalry, because you could have just had Red Velvet, you know, win this matchup to get her first title reign, and already Red Velvet, you're off to a really great start above the first Ring of Honor TV champion, because you defended your title
literally at all. Yeah.
2-3 months. I mean, you're batting 1,000 because you survived this and you're still the Ring of Honor TV Women's TV champion. I like this feud. I like the dynamic that they have. Continue it. Let's see how much you can kind of spread their wings for both performers. And I like Diamante's character right now, with kind of just always using weapons, it seems.
Yeah, she's always reaching for something more violent. This is kind of what I thought the Mercedes Martinez relationship would look like.
Yeah,
that didn't really fully materialize, but cut from the same cloth are those two women. So guys, we're coming down the home stretch with Ring of Honor. We're going to pass it off to the TNA crew shortly as they continue the build for Bound for Glory over there. So we'll quickly move on to Lance Archer defeating Sam Beal via the Blackout. Lance Archer, another one who seems to have been moving on into the AEW picture again, which I love that for him. Like, I don't know how I feel about the pairing with Callis, but I like that it seems like they have a plan for him other than, hey, why don't you lose and be title adjacent? Like, that has always been the plan for Lance Archer. Him with some creative push behind him, I kind of dig it, but this was a keep Lance Archer strong kind of squash situation.
Yeah, at least you're having him pick up some wins right before he loses to another star, which seems to be the Lance Archer theme. I'm hoping that changes with Don Callis, which I want to say, I've been enjoying Don Callis and the Don Callis family story since All Out. They've been doing a good job with the Will Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher being conflicted between Ospreay and Callis, and bringing Archer into the story might be a good thing for him.
My only thing on Wednesday was, okay, you get this new big trade, your new powerhouse guy, and then he doesn't come out in the Ospreay segment was so weird to me. It was weird.
He
could have taken the spot that Takeshita was in that whole pull apart. I was like, what?
That and the fact that Kyle Fletcher, you're not a very good friend. Why are you conflicted? Don Callis literally admitted that he betrayed Ospreay. You think he's not going to do the same thing to you?
He's young. He's young, and he has bad hair decisions that he already has to reckon with. There's a lot to process, including
dresses like the MGK.
I said he was like a slutty home improvement brother, and I stand by that. Is he not? Is he not a slutty Brad Taylor at the end of the day with his crop top? Oh man, we do get our ROH rewind that SP3 alluded to earlier. The Bryan Danielson versus Kenta match, Danielson winning 20 years ago with the cattle mutilation. But this was cool. I liked it better this week than I liked it last week. So some good stuff there. And then we move on to our main event, which has Mark Briscoe and Josh Woods. No ground proven, but nice to see Josh Woods profiled in somewhere that feels really important. You got to also have Mark Briscoe look strong going into the pay-per-view, of course. So him winning with the Froggy Bow here is great. But Josh Woods feeling like an important part of the program is something that I've been rooting for since before Tony Khan bought it, to be frank. Like, he had the ROH Pure title and he was great. And I was like, this guy, the technical beast, there's something to tap into with him. And I hope they continue to do so.
Yeah, and I like the story of the matchup, him working over the arm of Mark Briscoe, Mark not being able to get the J-Driller early on, and then he had to use the arm for the Froggy Bow at the end, but he was still able to pick up the victory here. I just, after this matchup, which was good, I need the conglomeration to get far away from the premier athletes, because I felt like I've seen this match or any combination of these two stables for at least a year. It feels like a very long time.
Agreed. Let's move on from that. We're going to move on in this post show and bring on the TNA crew. Speaking of Mark Briscoe, Sean interviewed him earlier today, so keep an eye out for that going into Wrestle Dream to talk about his big title match. I can't imagine that wasn't a super, super fun pay-per-view, but we're going to bring in Joel and Cresta, the returning Cresta, coming back. Keep your Jay Whites. Keep your Adam Coles. I want the return of the beautiful, amazing, wonderful Cresta coming on here, returning to TNA greatness. How are you?
Wrestling gives me everything that I need in life except making my camera do what I want it to do so I don't expose the business. I missed you guys. How is everyone? Wrestling is awesome.
We missed you too.
Missed you.
Wrestling is awesome. We're happy to have you back. Decent episode of ROH after two really down weeks. So the lesson is, when you complain constantly, sometimes people hear that. So complain all the time.
I love that. Complaining is my favorite pastime. Complaining moves the needle.
It really does. Just sometimes you got to throw on your best Karen impression and you got to complain. Okay. Worst for Chelsea Green. Look at her. She looks great. She's killing it.
Honestly.
I mean, she did end up in a dumpster this week, so maybe not. But how was the TNA? How's the Bound for Glory build looking?
Joel?
We got two more episodes.
Okay. Okay. The Hardys happened. I know.
The build just started.
Another, I had a good time. I don't know about Joel.
Another hurricane casualty. In a metaphorical sense, not a literal one, right? Those tapings getting a bit uprooted.
Yeah.
And next week is a monkey's paw moment for me.
Joel, you sound like, since I've been gone, you've been having the best time.
Tressa, everything gets like 97% less fun when you're not around, to be honest.
I had a couple of good solo shows. I missed you dearly.
Yeah, well, we're ready for the chaos tonight because Care Bear Crest is here and I haven't watched anything.
Son of a bitch, I knew it.
Well, we will turn it over to you guys. Guys, stick around for the show. You guys were killing it with the chats tonight. We really appreciate the support. So
Thank you.
That going on the TNA train for these two lovely, beautiful humans. I'll let you distribute how much you feel about those adjectives to which hosts, but we're gonna get out of here. Have a wonderful rest of your show, guys.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Love your shirt, Joel.
Oh, thank you. Bye. War for you. Oh, SP3 always knows how to tickle me. Kate's okay.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.